Let's grab your message notes if you already haven't. And we have no time to waste today. We are going to conclude our service today with a time of communion. And so we're going to move. Everybody say, we're going to move. I'm really excited for today, excited for this week here at Easter, just around the corner. Don't forget, next Sunday, three services, 9 a.m., 10:30, and noon, and we're excited for what God's going to do. John chapter 14, this has been our theme verse for this, and we began this series talking about living in the faith zone, not the safe zone. How many remember that message? It's been back at the beginning of March, and preached that, and then Bethany did an amazing job week number two in talking about greater miracles and believing God for that, and then Pastor Darren Patrick was here with us last week, did such an amazing job, didn't he? As we celebrated 6 years, we took last week off of the series, and I just encourage you, if you missed out on that message, it's a got to listen to kind of message. So make sure you go to the app. And so today, Anna did such a great job setting me up. I thought, man, girl's preaching my message. Go ahead, girl. And talking on greater love today. But it says, very truly, Jesus said, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. Everybody shout greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, and you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. I love just the reminder that you and I get in this verse, and that is just simply that we have a Father, and I think the true heart of a father always wants to see his kids go farther than him. And I think it's pretty awesome to see our Heavenly Father want to not only see us do what he did while he was on this earth, but he said, but you'll do even greater things. And not just even greater things through us, but greater things in us. And I don't know about you, but I'm just excited and wanting to see God just grow me in a place personally that he does some greater things in my life and my heart for him, and also wanting to do some things through me to touch the world around me. Can you say a good amen? And then it says in John 15:13, would you read this with me this morning? There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Everybody shout greater love. And it's amazing to me in our culture that we have a lot of things that we love. There's a lot of people that love their coffee. Where are my coffee drinkers at? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, can't start the day unless I have that coffee, right? And some love their cappuccino. Some love their espresso, all right? A couple shots of espresso, praise God. Or some just like it straight up, just Americano. And then you got those that love their sports, right? The basketball and March Madness right now. How about Loyola Chicago? Wow, like that's the ultimate underdog. And so Loyola, yeah, I'd say that one five times fast. And so, but you know, we got our favorite teams, football, basketball, baseball. On the count of three, shout out your favorite team. Ready? One, two, three. I heard something. The last one, Cubs. That was Jesus talking right there. Praise God. Baseball season around the corner here, getting ready to start this week, opening day, and we're expecting great things for the Cubs. Amen. And then some love their vacations. We got some. I know some families that love just vacationing in theme parks, like Cedar Point and Kings Island, Six Flags. Like, that's their jam. We just want to go and have fun. Then there's some that, like, they say, give me the mountains over the ocean. Any mountains, any mountain kind of folks say, yeah. And where's my ocean? People say, give me the ocean over the mountains. And so we got a lot of different things that we love. And I just want to say this, that, man, I just love what God is doing. I love God with everything within me, and I love this church. I love the community of people that God is putting together here as we are growing together. I love, you know, it's been the privilege of my life over the last 6 years. I was thinking about this last week as we celebrated 6 years, to wake up every day and to give my life over to God and to give my life to for this church as well, and just to serving this church. And so I just want you guys to know, man, I love you guys. Beth and I love you. We're for you. We believe in you. We believe what God's placed inside of you, the potential that's inside of you. And I just love what he's doing here. I love how God is just moving in the lives of his people. I love what's happening in our small groups, man. I love what's happening in our growth track and just the health, the growth, the things that are taking place. I love the fact that this church is a place of second chances. Amen. Come on, that we don't shoot our wounded when they're down, but we give them love and grace and truth. Amen, everybody. I love that we don't stand over people in judgment, but we extend that same love and that same grace. I love that we lift up the name of Jesus high. and we continue to declare his name to all the world. Amen. And I love our mission that we exist to reach the unchurched and awaken the spiritually restless to love God and to love people. I heard that years ago when we first started the church, I had somebody come up to me one Sunday, Pastor Robin. They said, Pastor, I said, we need to get back to that New Testament church. I said, oh, yeah. I said, okay, well, what church are you referring to? And he just kind of looked at me. I said, if you're talking about maybe the church that the one in Corinth, well, Paul, you know, it was interesting because there was issues there, and he wrote a letter to the church of Corinth because of the issues there. Or maybe the church of Galatia, because Paul had told the church of Galatia that you've wandered from the truth. You've wandered from the gospel. And the reality is the church is not perfect. The church is messed up and broken. Why? Because so long as there's people in it, we're messed up and broken, and we need more Jesus in our life. Yeah, and so we need more of him, but we still love the church because God loves his church. Everybody say, we are the church. Church is not a building. It's not a place. There's nothing holy about this facility. Where God resides is not in a building. He resides in you and me. And so it's just understanding that we want to be a church that's growing and introducing people to Jesus always. And I was thinking that even in the midst of a family that, you know, there is no perfect church and there are no perfect people and there certainly is no perfect pastor. Sorry to disappoint you, all right? But there is none. And it's interesting. And I love the picture of the big C, the church as a whole, the worldwide church as we know it, because you know what? We're family. And I love when you walk in that you see on the slides and inside the lobby where it says welcome home. Why? Because we just believe that every person ought to have a family, every person ought to have a home. And I think about my family. I've got, you know, my family ain't all perfect, and I've got some crazy ones, plural, in my family. How many got some crazy ones in your family? You know what I mean? But you know what? And if you don't know who the crazy one is, you might be the crazy one. I don't know. But nonetheless, here's what I know. I still love them. Yeah, I still love them in spite of their issues, in spite of what's going on. Through the years, we've had conversations when we've disagreed, and we've not, you know, left each other. We've just continued to encourage one another. And that's how I see the body of Christ, man, that we're not always sometimes going to agree on everything, and that's okay. But just like in my family, we just agree to disagree sometimes. Just like Beth and I, we agree to disagree sometimes, don't we, baby? And so, but in the family of God, that we work those things out. We talk to each other. We do the word. Why? Because we love each other. Why? Because we love God. Why? Because we love the church. And why? Because we love people. And we want to make sure we're doing a good job of that. And so we still are in a place that I think what's important that we are reminded is that it's easy for us to stay focused on just here and what's happening here. And I think it's dangerous if churches just get focused on the here part and forget the out there part. All right? And it's interesting to me, when you study Scripture, you'll see the heart of God for lost people, the compassion that Jesus has. And not longing for just those who are here, but for those that are out there. And who are those that are out there? It's those who don't know him this morning. It's those who are struggling this morning, ready to give up, ready to quit, who are battling addictions, who are battling bondages, maybe some that's given up on church. We exist for them as well. Amen, everybody? And I think about the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus said, man, he left the 99 to go after the one. The 99 were doing pretty well, but he said, man, we've lost one. We've got to go see what's happened, and we got to go pursue the lost one, so we're going to go after the one. We're a church that goes after the one. That's who we are. Amen? And I believe this, that we want to be a church, and hear me, that takes care of its people here, and we're going to continue to do that and pastor and lead in that capacity, but also remembering that our primary focus is for those that are out there. Amen, church? So Psalm 121, it says this, I was glad, everybody say, I was glad, when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Man, I just always dreamed of helping to pastor a church that we were actually excited to come to church on Sundays. I remember growing up in old-time Christianity, And I remember our ushers, and not only would they mean mug, but I remember one time I just had to. And our ushers do pretty good. We tell them, y'all smile, and they're not perfect. They may mess up. Give them a break. But I remember as a boy, and I just had this conversation with my dad the other week, and I remember as a boy we were in the middle of a service like this, and I had to go to the bathroom. How many know you just have those moments you gotta go? And so I was a boy, and so I never forget going out the halls, and I got like the death stare from the usher. Like, man, what are you doing? What you doing? I'm just trying to go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Just a brother trying to get in the boys' room. You know, let me do my thing. I felt the fear of God just glazing at me. You know what I mean? And, and I came back out, and one of those ushers always just kind of joked with me, say, yeah, you want to, you know, make sure you're listening to God and doing all these things. And so you can grow up and kind of be like me. I said, no, I don't want to be like you. I'm scared of you, you know? Like, no, there's a better way, you know. But a place that that Sundays would be the best part of our week, not just endured, but a place that we can come and enjoy, a place that's filled with grace and hope and love and acceptance. We want Sunday to be the best part of your week. And I love that when you look in the Greek in the New Testament, the power it talks about of the working of the Holy Spirit, because the Greek word for the word spirit is the word pneuma. And it literally just means blast of breath or breath of fresh air. And one of my things that I pray over you and for every guest that comes through our doors every week, that it would be that way. Here's what I'm thinking about on Sunday afternoon and after services. This is what I think about. So after this service, this is literally what goes through my mind is, man, what are our families going home with today? What are the conversations they're having about, man, their experience today with God? And my hope is when you leave here and you get in your car, whether it's you go to lunch or you go home, that it has been like a breath of fresh air for you today. It's one of those, everybody just do that with me. It's just good for you. Yeah, my counselor says do that a lot, so I try to do that a lot. And so it's important. But that's my hope, and that's our prayer for you, is that it's like a breath of fresh air. And that you were better because you came today, and you were better because you thought, man, I'm so glad I came to church today. I'm so glad I chose to worship even though I didn't feel like it. I'm so glad I was a part of the message and opened up my heart to receive what God wanted to say to me, regardless of what my week has been like, because I know that God is wanting to do something in me. Amen? And here's what I know, though, for some, that we get stuck in miserable places. And I just think if we're going to experience greater things, we've got to get unstuck. And we've got to step into what God has for us. And God does have greater things. Everybody shout greater things. And what I'm trying to push on you with this message and in this series is getting you into a posture of expecting and believing that whatever God has told you, maybe God hasn't spoken something to you, but he has something for you, that you can expect him, that you can pray, and that you can be in a place that says, God, I want to be used to be a part of the greater things. That I don't want to just be a status quo Christian taking up a chair on a Sunday or just taking up oxygen somewhere, but I want to be used by God. And I want to be a part of the solution. But here's what I know. Solomon was in a place that he had some bad days. How many ever have some bad days? How many had some bad days this week? Yes, okay. Ecclesiastes 2:17, he said, he just was real blunt and honest. He just said, man, I hated life. How many ever said that? This life stinks. It's hard, isn't it? And that's where he was. He was just saying, man, I just hated life. And so for some of us, we're in this place, we're going to hang out in Ecclesiastes for a few minutes. Life seems useless. Jot that down. Seems useless. Chapter 1 in verse 2 through 4, it says, life is useless, all useless. You spend your life working, but what do you have to show for it? The world just stays the same. How many know, man, what a life-taking environment to have around you, where it just seems like, man, the calendar days are turning, but your life isn't turning. It just, man, I'm just continuing to find myself in this same place and in this same area of my life. And for some, another thing that I know when we feel miserable or when we're going through these tough things or these tough times, and this will keep us from greater things, it just seems like life seems tiresome. You can jot that down. Life seems tiresome. The Bible says this in verse 4. It says, the sun rises and goes down. The wind blows round and round and back again. Every river flows into the sea. Then the water returns to where the river began and starts all over again. everything leads to weariness. How many know Solomon's having a tough time? Lord have mercy. Where's the encouragement at, brother? It's interesting. I saw this stat. Business Week did a poll on how Americans are feeling today. And the number one response that they got of how Americans are feeling, they said that we're tired. Experts are calling this the decade of fatigue. And some of us are finding ourselves in this vicious cycle of just doing, 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 doing more, doing more, do, do. You see the theme? And it's like, man, energy drink has become our savior. Man, we've got more energy drinks and options than I can ever remember. I was thinking about this the other day, too. I thought, man, I remember growing up not seeing energy drinks, except for coffee, you know what I mean? And so, but there's all these options. I mean, we've got, you know, what do we have out there? We've got, you know, obviously, yeah, we got Starbucks coffee available, but there's, Red Bull is one, 7-hour, 5-hour energy drink, I don't know, 3-hour, 12-hour, I don't know what they have now. You know, there's all these hours, you know, of energy drinks that it's supposed to last you. And we just are a generation. It's interesting that they called it a generation or the decade of fatigue. And I think a lot of the reason why we come to this place is the next point is because life seems very unfulfilling. And so, in other words, we try to fill our life with events. We try to fill our life with vacations, thinking that this is what's going to make me feel better. This is what's going to help me process and get through the day. How many have ever been on a vacation and you need a vacation from the vacation? Like, I have counseled some of our families in this church and our leaders. I said, listen, I love you. If I have a voice in your life, please listen to me. Take your vacation and don't do anything. Just get lazy and sit by a pool. Your kids will love the pool, trust me. I understand the beach can be a little tough and all the sand and it's hot and all that. The pool is safe. Go to the pool. Be lazy. Don't schedule a bunch of things. Just have time for you time. You time. Everybody say you time. And it's like we schedule these vacations, and it's just like we're doing. It's just like this machine gun. And I'm like, just slow down. I just relax a little bit. When's the last time you just laid by the pool on a vacation? Your kids will be all right. Buy them some water toys, and they'll play with it all day. My kids do. And so we just made that decision as a family. Beth and I did a few years ago. It was like family vacation means downtime. We ain't doing a lot of stuff. We'll do a little bit, but we're going to rest. But it's interesting, life seems unfulfilling. And again, it'll seem unfulfilling if you don't know your purpose. And that's why we have our growth track, is to plug people in so they can find and discover their purpose. We just had nearly 20 people this past month of March go through it and find their purpose. I think it's amazing that we have that many people that's going to be joining teams here soon. And it's powerful to see what God's doing. Something Beth and I did real quick is we wrote down things that fill us. Like, you need to be doing things that you enjoy. And some of the reasons why we're frustrated and we're tired and life seems unfulfilled, because you don't have any fun. When's the last time you laughed and had fun? That's why your pastor loves to have some fun and laugh in church, because we need it. The Bible says it's medicine for us, amen? And so my question is, though, when's the last time that maybe you've taken some time, whether you're married or single? Write that down. We challenged each other with this. Things that fill us, and to make sure we're doing the things that fill us. One of the things I enjoy doing is going to games. I'm looking forward to tin cap season. It's kind of a little getaway for me. You know, I that way I'm not thinking about everything. I just enjoy a game and just a little bit of a getaway. I mean, things like that. It doesn't have to be that. Maybe it's hanging out in the park, walking the dog. I don't know. You know, and just things that are filling you and filling your tank. The Bible says this in verse 8, same chapter. No matter how much you see, we're never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we're not content. History merely repeats itself. I read this scripture this week, and the Holy Spirit showed me something powerful, and I'm going to share it with you. And I just saw it. I feel like God just gave me a picture of it. And I saw, how many remember the old boom boxes? All right, what those are, for those of us that don't know, they played music, you know. Like, we're in 2017, we got the iPods and the iPhones, everything. I get it. But boom boxes, that's what I saw. That's the way Jesus was talking to me, a little old school. So I saw the boom box. But you know what I saw? I felt like this is what I saw in the spirit. God just hit and kept doing this on play. And then I heard the Lord speak to me this for some of us today, that our life has been on repeat for years. And we've been stuck. And we're not, and listen, it's not the excuse that, man, I'm just waiting on God. No, it's God saying, I'm waiting on you. I'm pressing play constantly, trying to get your attention, trying to bring messages of hope, trying to bring encouragement. Situations happen not to put more pressure on you, but to draw you to the heart of your Father, because he's trying to put you in motion. And I don't know about you, but I want God putting us in motion. But we get stuck on repeat. And life just stinks when that's all we're seeing. The same stuff. Children of Israel went through that. And I'm just trying to encourage somebody this morning to let you know God has more for your life than history just merely repeating itself. That he is a God of motion that's trying to put us into the place that he has for us to set us forth in the course of the destiny that he's called us to. And I'm just encouraging you, get off repeat and let God press play today in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at the person next to you, fist bump, and say, he's preaching good now. And here's the last thing. Life seems uncontrollable. Uncontrollable. You can't straighten out what's crooked, verse 15 says, and you can't count things that aren't there. Man, it's good. Solomon, I think, was bringing some. He's one of the wisest men that ever lived. Brings some an amazing perspective for us. And I think what happens is when we get overwhelmed, we get in this place where life feels uncontrollable. I had this feeling last year when I was going through some of my physical things, and it just seemed like life was getting crazy. And here's the thing we've got to remember. We've got to stay close to God. You're going to have moments that you're going to feel that way. There's several weeks ago, man, I was just having a week. You ever just had a week? Just like, man, just kind of grueling. I just felt like I heard the Holy Spirit just say, man, you need more adequate time with me this week. You need to shut off the noise. And I thought, oh, preach it, Lord. And it's amazing that when we shut the noise off, and Bethany knows this about me. I mean, sometimes just whether it's shutting the door at home or in the office or whatever, to have these times that I don't care when it's early in the morning or the night, just to have quiet, to shut off. We just need to turn stuff off and to hear. And I don't know about you, but I like peace a lot more than I like noise. I like peace a lot more than I like chaos. And I'm just encouraging you, man, God has the solution. We've got to lean in closer to him. And so greater love, though, is the plan and part of what God wants for us in this series as we're believing God for greater things. And here's part of God's heart for us. Number one, jot this down. He wants you, listen, to love life. He wants you to enjoy this journey. There's not many days that go by that I'm not thankful that I'm alive and breathing today, that I'm not dead. Think about it. The very fact that you have air in your lungs this morning is a true indicator of God's purpose in your life. Everybody say, he's not done with me. He's not done with you. There's greater things that he wants to do. We've got to just see it. We've got to lean into it. And I believe this, the joy is the true mark of following Christ, and it's the result of the activity of the Holy Spirit in our life. Man, you and I need the friendship of the Holy Spirit. We need him. We need his presence. We need his help. We need to surrender to what he wants and his will. And happiness is based on happenings. It's external. But your joy is based on what's going on inwardly in you. And that's where the Holy Spirit is active and wants to be in your life. And I'm encouraging us today, love life. And again, I don't have to preach as much except just to remind us that, man, we only have a short time on this earth, everybody. What are we doing with our lives to make a difference? What are we doing with the call? Every one of us are called. What are we doing with it? If we haven't figured out, Growth Track starts back up April 8th. You know, you hear me pushing it. Why? Because it's so important for your life. You've got to figure that out. Some of the most miserable people that I've ever met in my life in the world are Christians. And it's like, for some of them, it's like they've gotten baptized in vinegar. And they don't love life. And they're mean. There's some that are mean. I used to work at a Christian bookstore, 16, 17 years of age. I had people cuss me out over ordering the wrong Bible. My God, you need the Bible, ma'am. Sir. Do you realize you're ordering a Bible and you're cussing at me? Oh, don't get me started. Anyway. And it's just enjoy life, especially as the believer, we're saved. Our eternity is secure. Why so serious? My God in heaven, lighten up a little bit. Be nice. Open up a door for somebody. I don't care if you hate them or you don't. Whatever. Be nice. Jeez, oh, Pete. Be nice on the phone. I know, listen, customer service folk get on my nerves too. But they need some Jesus too. Yeah, how about that the next time you get and somebody wants a bill or money from you? Jesus loves you. I know, I can see some of y'all just gritting your teeth. I remember Pastor Kyle said it. Jesus, yes, no, you know, and it's just, it's hard. But love life. Enjoy the journey. Everybody say, let's enjoy the journey. Jesus said in John 15, he said, I've loved you the way my Father has loved you. Look at this, the way this Message Bible says this. This is so good. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Keep my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I've loved you. This is the very best way to love. What a beautiful scripture. I love that. Read that in the Message this week. Thought it was powerful. Here's the second thing. We're going to experience greater things. We've got in greater love. We've got to love people. So this really opened up the opportunity as I just talked about that. And I know Pastor Darren Patrick talked about this so well last week. We all need relationships. It's part of the equation, right? But the issue a lot of times is the people. How many know you can't have a relationship without the people? It just doesn't make sense. And people are messy. But you know what? You and I needed forgiveness and still do in grace, and we've got to continue to extend it. But loving people well, loving people, and sometimes painful things or things that have happened to us kind of sometimes unknowingly, I almost think, restrict us from really showing that love. And I'm just saying, don't allow the pain of the past or the things that you went through dictate your love. We can get stuck in a place, and it's even in that place of isolation, and it's miserable to do life that way. And for some of us, maybe we just need the healing of, man, God's power and his anointing in our heart. And that's why I love our small groups, as people are working out. I had an email just the other week of a gentleman in our church who is very new to our church, and he just said this. He said, Pastor, I just want to say thank you for the Freedom Small Group. He said, for what it's doing for my life, it's changing who I am. I'm not who I was, and we're not even at the end of this semester, but God is growing me into the man, into the husband, into the father he wants me to be. That's literally what the email said, and so it just ministered to my heart, because I love seeing, and there's all kinds of stories like that are happening with people, and I think it's powerful. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, for let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days good, whether apparent or not, keep his tongue from evil and his lips from guile, treachery, deceit. You know what next week is all about. What's next week, everybody? Yeah, Easter. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. It's going to be powerful. It's the Super Bowl for the church. But you know what? Next week is not about how many people we can just fill a seat, how many people we can pack into this place. Next week is all about how many people we can get to Christ. That's what next week's all about. We do it every week in this church, but it's statistically true that on Christmas and Easter, people are more apt to come and visit a church on those 2 days more than any other time of the year. And I want to encourage you, church, Elevate City, Elevators, man, let's not just invite, bring people, offer to pick them up. So, man, I want to bring you to the 9 a.m. service. I'm going to bring you to the noon or 10:30 service. Man, I want you to be a part. I'll pick you up, man. We'll grab coffee on the way. Make it a morning together, all right? But I'm just telling you, people are one ask away. For some, they're just that one invite away from their life being forever changed. But people that are in this church that call this place home, that a year ago on Easter, their lives would change because of an invitation and somebody brought them. We have them. They're on our dream team. And it's amazing. And so I want to keep that in front of you. And, you know, it's interesting to me when we look at the life of Jesus. You realize that Jesus was accused. Man, he was accused of being a drunkard. He was accused of being a partier. And he spent so much of his time with those who did not know his message. The thing about Jesus that I love is he is and has always been so attractive, enjoyable, loving, grace-giving. And who he is, he's magnetic in his ministry. And he's still magnetic today. Amen? But he always created an environment everywhere he went and did ministry of grace and love and truth. And we've always just dreamed of leading and pastoring a church that had that balance. And we want people to grow. We want people to be discipled. We want people's lives to be changed. But at the end of the day, we want people to become more and more like Christ. We need to have grace, and we need to have an environment that is seasoned with salt. A people that call this place home, that realize it's not about us, that this place doesn't exist for us and no one else, that it's not ever meant to be a religious clique, but this place is always meant to be a place of life and of accepting and of believing in people when they walk through our doors. You know, one of our greatest feedbacks we get from first-time guests, whether it's connection cards or emails, is the way that they are loved and greeted from the moment they step out of their car to the moment that they get through the doors. People have their mind made up about whether they'll return to church or not just within the first 2 minutes. Tells you how important our parking lot team is. No pressure, guys. Our greeters are. I'm serious. It's an amazing responsibility that we carry, all of our dream team. But it's a people that realize, man, this is not about us. And I believe in our 6 years of a church that we've done a pretty good job of growing this kind of environment and culture of people feeling loved and accepted. But we must realize in our minds that, yes, we need to save marriages, and we will. That, yes, we need to help people get off drugs, and we will. Yes, we need to help people with their issues, and we will. But if we offend those who come through our doors with a religious, legalistic spirit, they will never come back. And we will never be able to help them in any other area of their life. So that's the main goal of our church every weekend. As we throw out the net, we believe it's an opportunity for people to come and meet Christ. It's why we give coffee away. We don't charge. We just want to bless people. It's why we give free gift cards away. It's why we give stuff away on Sundays. It's why we give high fives and fist bumps, everybody. We just want people to come back. And we know if they come back that their hearts and lives will radically change by the God in whom they encounter here in this place. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? And so here's what we're just trying to do. Stay out of the way so that they can come and encounter a real loving God. Can you say amen this morning? And here's just what I've learned over the years. That some people will never know they matter to God unless you show them they matter to you. I'm going to say it again. Some people will never know that they matter to God unless you and I show them that they matter to you. That's why we've got to do our part. That's why I love this verse. This is a verse I wish I could just plaster everywhere. It's so good. 1 John 3, little children, let us stop saying we love people. Let us really love them. And show it by our actions. When I sign our first-time guest letters, I've always signed it this from the day we started this church, loving God, loving people, showing it. Because that's what we want to be about, showing it. Are you with me, church? That we're in a place that we're not just about words, but we're more about our action and our steps and what we're trying to accomplish. Amen? Because we're not in it for us, right, everybody? We're in this to reach more people. And here's the third thing. Love God, love God, love God, love God with everything within you. You can't love life or people without loving God and receiving his love. That's why the scripture says in 1 John 4, we love each other because he loved us first. You can't love unless you've received that love first. And so we've got to make the shift in our heart to not just, it's not good enough just to know about him, but to know him. I think about my relationship. I think we do our relationship with Jesus wrong sometimes. I was thinking about this. It's just like he desires so much to have a conversation and to have prayer and just have time with you. He just wants to talk to you and me. I think about my relationship with Bethany because I often think about my marriage and it matching my relationship with God, my relationship with God matching my marriage. And I think about I don't put a time limit on Bethany. Religion will say, well, you have to spend X amount of time in order to hear from God. Phooey. God just wants a relationship. I've never once in 11 years of our marriage said, Bethany, hey, baby, you got 20 minutes to talk to me. After 20 minutes, I've got other things to do. I mean, that'd be rude. But sometimes it's how we treat God. It's like, God, you have so much time. And then I've got to go. I feel like the Lord just showed me this. It's like, God, I just love you. I just want more and more of your heart. Scripture talks about prayer without ceasing. I used to grow up in old-time Christianity that got worn out with that scripture because they thought, man, I just got to pray every, I just be a pray, and I just got to pray more and come to church more. No. Literally, all it just means is having ongoing conversations. That's what Bethany and I do. Let's text her through the day. I'll call her sometimes. We'll talk in the morning, at night. And God just said, I just want to hear from you. Don't make the, you don't have to have this weird seance. God's not weird. People get weird. Like, you have to have candles and you have to, all, I mean, if that's your thing, whatever. I just like to go in a room, maybe turn on some worship music, just talk, or sometimes I just sit in my chair and just talk to the Lord. And here's all I'm saying, love God. Are you with me, church? Love him with everything within you. You're the giver of life, Psalm says. Your light lets us enjoy life. You know what I believe will spark a revival in Fort Wayne and beyond is a people that who are loving, compassionate about their God, about their about people, and about life. Why? Because that looks like Jesus. That's what's going to change the world, everybody. Come on. Can you give God a hand this morning? Amen.